Hi, I'm Jared Sebesta, host of Repurposed. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast.
My grandfather was just a very simple man. And so what he did with me was very simple things, you know. And for example, he taught me how to shave, or he taught me how to drive, or he taught me how to treat women, whatever it was. And he took these very simple tasks, and as a part of them, he taught me not only how to do the task itself, but how to do it in a way that honored God.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Tatius Financial Group, a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach true wealth. If you want to find out more information on us, just go to our website, tatiusfinancial.com. On this week's show, I'm bringing you a conversation with Vince Miller. Vince is the founder of Resolute, a nonprofit focused on providing men with tools for discipleship and mentorship. And he has quite a testimony, which you'll hear, of being raised in a broken, what I would call dysfunctional, fatherless home as a young child and teenager. However, when he was 15 years old, Vince's grandfather took over the raising duties. And his grandfather showed Vince not only how to be an adult, but to be a man and, more importantly, a godly man. This led Vince on a road of discovering his own purpose in life. Here's my chat with Vince Miller. Well, let's start about talking about Resolute. Tell me and the audience, what is that all about?
Well, Resolute is designed to provide men with simple tools to help them kind of get going in their faith. We provide discipleship tools, Bible studies, guides, you name it, in the form of daily devotionals, in the form of podcasts like you're doing here today, Jared, in the form of videos and handbooks that guys use actually all over the world to complement their spiritual growth.
I've got a feeling that your background had something to do with that. Why don't you share kind of your testimony and how did you arrive at this point?
Yeah, you know, I felt passionate about providing guys with stuff like this simply because I lacked mentorship in my own life. I grew up in a fatherless home. My biological mother was married, divorced multiple times, which left me fatherless, which is an epidemic in our world today, I believe. And because of that, at about the age of 15, I was raised by my grandmother and grandfather. My mother just kind of gave up on raising me. You know, my biological father nor my stepdad were around and were out of the picture. And because of that, my grandfather stepped in, and he happened to be a Christian man. I really did not know many Christian men growing up, and he was. My father was a pronounced atheist. To my mom, I would call her an agnostic. And because of that, I, at the age of 15, I came to be mentored by my grandfather, who deeply invested in my life. And for the next 5 years or so, he really poured into me until his life was taken by cancer at the age of 21. This left a huge void in my life. As you can imagine, a young man growing up really without a father in the home suddenly had one who cared and loved for him and shared really about God with him, was now left fatherless. And I was really at a loss for what to do at this point. So, you know, I sought men to mentor me, and I just couldn't find any. And I found that men were very intimidated by the task of mentoring or discipling other guys.
Sure.
And I thought it was a problem that was worth resolving.
Yeah. You said that your grandfather started pouring into you at the age of, you know, 15 until he died when you were 21. What did that look like? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, my grandfather was just a very simple man. And so what he did with me was very simple things, you know. And for example, he taught me how to shave, or he taught me how to drive, or he taught me how to treat women, whatever it was. And he took these very simple tasks. And as a part of them, he taught me not only how to do the task itself, but how to do it in a way that honored God. And that's how he really poured into me, was he took simple tasks and he effectively taught me how to understand them with a godly perspective. And that's kind of what the pouring out into me looked like. And by the way, none of these things I had learned. I hadn't learned how to treat women. I hadn't learned a proper understanding of God or how to engage in simple spiritual discipline like prayer or Bible reading. Just simple things that my grandfather took time to invest in me during my life as a young man.
And I've read your testimony. You became a Christian at around the age of 20. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So how did that, you know, how did that affect you as a, you know, non-believer at that point in your, you know, teens to young adulthood shape you to eventually becoming a believer at the age of 20?
Yeah, you know, that is really a good question. You know, because of the influence of my mother and father who were very opposed to faith, I was pretty skeptical about my grandfather and his beliefs, but I knew this. I really liked him as a man. Like, he represented someone who took the time to invest in me. And while I was pretty turned off to Christianity, in the traditional sense, meaning like going to church and experiencing Christians and kind of seeing, I would call it having very hypocritical experiences with Christians.
Yeah.
I came to discover through my grandfather's influence that it wasn't the church that I really needed to understand and to be attracted to. It was really understanding that Jesus Christ was the representation of Christianity, and it was him that I needed to be attracted to. And my grandfather taught me the beauty of Christ, and I eventually fell in love with Jesus and then discovered that along the way I was going to have to put up with Christians and live in community and discover what it meant to have, you know, brothers and sisters in my life in a meaningful way. And I eventually found out that I was a hypocrite too. And
join the club.
I had to overcome the fact that, you know, really, this is a problem. Our depravity is a problem that we all deal with. And as soon as I really fell in love with Jesus, I came to discover that, man, he loved me back, and that his redemptive purposes in my life became very, very clear. And it was because of that, my grandfather's grace and mercy, forgiveness and love, that I eventually saw the love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, even as you're talking, I have, just so you know, I have three kids. My oldest is a boy, and he's now 7, almost 8. And boy, I'm beginning to see the importance of my role in his life on a day-to-day basis, you know. And even just one thing that recently, I just wanted to, I was even thinking about this morning. I want to be more intentional about, he hears me or sees me pray once a day. You know what I mean? Like, he needs to see that dad, this is what dad does every single day, whether it's with him or something like that. You know what I mean? It just sounds like that molding and shaping is so, so important. So I love the message that you're preaching. How do you think that we've come this far? Was it always like this? I don't want to ask what your age is. You know, I'm 40, right. So, but was it always like this? You know what I mean? Like this epidemic, you called it, as with fatherless homes and just boys turning into men who don't know how to be men. How have we gotten here?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I have often thought about that, Jared, by the way. And I think this is an old problem. In fact, I think that this issue that we're talking about right now, we're not really naming it yet, but the issue is the oldest sin in the Bible. So if I reach back to the beginning of the Bible, I can see that the first sin and the most destructive sin in the entire Bible is actually a man issue. And it resides in Genesis 3. If you see what's going on there, man and woman are created. Man has been given a purpose by God. He has been given domain by God. He has been given authority by God. Not only that, he's been given the power to define creation and name animals in creation. And then God sees that he needs another relationship, so he creates woman out of man. And then there in the garden, woman is having this conversation with a serpent. I know it sounds weird, but she's having a conversation with a serpent. And as she's having this conversation, which probably isn't the first that she's had with the serpent, man is sitting on the sidelines and he's doing nothing and he's saying nothing. Now, this is very interesting because in the moment that injustice is at the door, at the moment that sin is about to befall mankind, woman is engaged, but man does nothing and says nothing. And this is really critical. The fact that here in this moment, empowered with authority, given domain, given a voice, given the power to define, and given one single moral law, not two, one,
right.
Man doesn't uphold his job. And his single job is to speak up and to say something, to do something. And this is the moment that apathy befalls man. And I think apathy is really the greatest sin in the Bible. It is to say nothing and do nothing in the face of injustice and sin. And I think that's the problem with men today. It's an epidemic. We can see it diseasing culture. And it isn't just about fatherlessness. It's not just about sin. It's about our failure to act when God has positioned us with such great opportunity. And I think this is what we struggle with today. And I think this is what most men struggle with, is finding ways to act and speak up on behalf of God, not just themselves, but on behalf of God in our world. And I think this is the great challenge that men are facing, and the great problem that I faced when I was looking for someone to mentor me.
Again, I'm coming back to the why question. Why is that? Because, again, I resonate with what you're saying, and I've been that guy. Mm-hmm. I've been the hypocrite. I've been the guy on the sidelines doing nothing and saying nothing. Mm-hmm. Again, what is it in our being? How come we can't get over that hurdle sometimes, and we need so much help in this area?
Yeah, you know, I think we know that we have the problem. It's almost intuitive, but it's our pathway of discovering it there that's really hard. You know, I think that it comes down to kind of our core existence. I think men are looking for purpose. And I love that you title your podcast the Repurpose Podcast, because I think that all men are looking for their purpose, but we look for it in the wrong ways. You know, sometimes we try to look for our purpose through our job or our title. Yeah. Sometimes we try to look for our purpose through our social status or our financial portfolio, or even through our talents and abilities. I think some men try to find it just through thinking that we're going to achieve it when we hit a certain age, or that we have a certain anatomy.
Right.
But really, it's not the pursuit of any of those things or the path through any of those things that helps us to really find our purpose. It's our purpose is really found when we submit our identity to God, when we learn to give things up. And we learn to serve God's purposes. And I think that's what man failed to do in the garden, is he failed to live up to God's purposes for him. And in that failure, really, he created a problem for all mankind. And the problem is sin,
right?
And so I think that's why it's a little elusive to us, is we think it's found in our own way, by our own methods, through who we are, and really our purposes are found outside of ourselves, not from within ourselves. They are given to us by the designer himself.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that we are created to be leaders and go out and hunt stuff and kill it and bring it back to the household. You know what I mean? Like that's how I'm created. I want to be a provider for my family. And, mm-hmm. But then there's this delicate balance, you know,
right.
of being the provider, but yet having the humility of submission. That is a hard one, and I kind of float back and forth over that line in different seasons of my life. Have you experienced that too?
Well, yeah, I think you're bringing up a great tension. That's just one of many, right? Like we are called to provide, but we can't forget that Jehovah God is the ultimate provider, right? And so we have to find our place of being a provision provider for our family, but also keeping in mind that God is the ultimate provider. For example, take Abraham. God called Abraham to walk out of a sense of comfort of provision and to go on a long walk to nowhere, you know, and he had to trust that Jehovah Jireh, the provider, Jehovah God, the provider, was going to provide for him along the way, but still, in the same step, he had to provide for his family along the way and teach them to trust that God was going to be the provider. So there's a tension there, right?
Yeah.
Is earthly provision and supernatural provision. We run a delicate balance between those two things, because sometimes we lean far too much to our human ability to provide and not enough to God who is the ultimate provider.
Yeah. And again, I would definitely sway to that side, you know, way more. And again, I think that's just my nature. You know, I think that's going kind of back to the sinful nature that's ingrained in me. And when I'm struggling, or stressed or worried about something, my flesh wants to fling to that side. Like, I got to figure this out, you know? And again, that's a struggle I have personally, just that tension that you mentioned, dealing with that is, something substantial. You talked about purpose and, finding our purpose ingrained in something deeper. How would you describe purpose? And you've kind of gone there already, but like, what is that? What does it even mean? It's a word that's getting flung around, all the time lately. What would you be your definition of purpose?
That is a great question, because it is the ultimate question, right? It's not just what is my purpose. It is what is purpose, right? Okay. That's the bigger question.
Right.
And I think there's this dance that, we do in really finding it. I think one of the first ways that men ask that question is they ask it about their vocational purpose. Hmm. I think that's where most men begin. They go, I want to find my purpose in life. I wonder what God's purpose is for me. And what they're really saying, what they really mean by that word purpose, is I want to know what God wants me to do with my life vocationally.
Right.
Most of the time, that's what it means, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have a vocation, I have a vocation. When we're struggling in the tension of knowing that our current vocation is not very fulfilling, then we say, well, what is God's purpose for my life? And what we mean is, what's God's next vocation for me?
Right.
And I think this is a struggle for guys, right? Mm-hmm. I think that men are looking for something really unique. And so here's how I describe it, Jared. I describe it as convergence. And the reason why I like that word is because I think it's the bringing together of multiple ideas at one time. I think guys are looking for, number one, their purpose in God, like that design of God through them. And then they want to leverage that, I believe, most of the time, for at least if it's from pure motivation, for kingdom purposes. But they struggle to figure out how to leverage that design for kingdom purposes when they feel very trapped by the rat race.
Yep.
Right? And you probably deal with this all the time with customers that you're engaging with. But I think it's hard for guys to find their pathway through that. And that's what they mean by convergence. It's a convergence of really their skills and their talents, the convergence of kind of their vocation, and the convergence of ultimate purpose while here on planet Earth. And guys struggle through that. I watch a lot of men work jobs that are very unenjoyable to them because they've got to make money.
Right.
But they never take the leap of faith into discovering what God has for them, because they feel trapped by these financial obligations. So guys will come to me with that because they see me living out my life purpose.
Right.
And what I have done, Jared, is I've decided to push away from the financial obligations of life and say, God, this is a calling you have for me. And my calling is to men, and to speak prophetically to them and provide them tools that they can use in life that essentially help them take the next step in their spiritual life. And that was the creation of Resolute. Mm. So I found a way to bring a financial model together with a life mission. And so when people ask me what my purpose in life is, well, it's the same mission as the Resolute mission: to disciple and develop men to lead. That is my life purpose,
yeah.
I believe. And I believe God has wired me for it. And I brought my vocational purpose together with a spiritual purpose and said, I'm going to do this. And most guys look at me and said, how did you do that financially? And I said, well, I had to take a huge risk.
Right.
I didn't know if it was going to work. But that's where I think the beauty of that convergence comes together. And that's what brought me joy in both supernatural purposes and human purposes. And I think guys are looking for that. And when they see it in me, they find it attractive. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And again, I resonate with a lot of that, because you just explained me, you know, and that's why I'm passionate about the messages that I'm passionate about, you know, throwing out to the crowd, because I had a job and career, that paid the bills. And I would consider, you know, me part of the rat race, and that's no disrespect to my old employers and my old business that I used to work in, but that's what it was. It was the wheel is spinning, and it's not slowing down anytime soon. And then here's from a guy's perspective what made it more difficult, and we've kind of touched on that. My identity was so wrapped up in that job. And you brought up a question. You said, why do guys stay in jobs that they don't like? And you said it's to make money. And I would totally agree. They can't leave. They couldn't, even if they wanted to financially. And then maybe even taking it a step further, they couldn't because their identity is so wrapped up in that. I pose the question every once in a while to CEOs and executives when I get a chance to speak in front of them. And I say, what if you got fired? How would you be? And I'm not talking financially. I'm talking, how would you be? Because when I left my TV career, Vince, you don't know this because we just met on the phone. I went through a massive identity crisis for like 2 years. And I remember waking up 2 years later when God finally dealt with that. And it was such a liberating experience because now all of a sudden I was free. Now I'm not tied to that. Now I can go and chase the foundational purpose that you mentioned in a brand new way because I'm not tied down to trying to fulfill something in me that a job really isn't a job like that isn't supposed to do. Does that make sense?
Right.
So I totally get what you're talking about. And that's a message guys need to hear over and over again.
The number one reason that men go see counselors is because they've lost their job and their wives don't like them. And they've got their identity so wrapped up in what they do that they have never really found their true identity. And you're right about that. You know what that's called in the Bible? It's called idolatry is what it's called.
Yeah.
And we may not even know that we're engaged in this idolatry.
Right.
But the willingness to let that job go and that identity go is indicative. Our unwillingness or willingness to do it is indicative of how much we're holding on to that idol.
Yeah, exactly. Vince, we got about 3 minutes left. Two last questions here. People struggling with purpose and meaning in their life. You've touched on it. Somebody listening right now struggling to find that flow. What would be some advice you have for them?
Well, I would say you really got to get in touch with why that is and ask yourself the hard question. I say I would sit down with another man and discuss it until you can get a real answer to it. If you're struggling to find purpose, you need to sit down with another guy, share the story with him, and find the end of it before it's too late. Yeah. I find so many men that are kind of just navigating through life, and then once they retire, they think then they can be useful for the kingdom. That is bad thinking.
Yeah,
that absolutely bad thinking. Do it now while you have lots of life, and live life to the fullest now. Don't wait to tomorrow. This is why I think Jesus said things like, "Come follow me," like right now. Like not tomorrow. Don't put it off. Do it today.
That's awesome. Last question here. How can we have more impact? Maybe something simple. I try to ask all of our interviewees this question. Maybe something simple you and I and folks listening could even start doing today to just have more impact on people around us, our spouse, our children, our neighbors.
You know, I believe the greatest way to have personal impact on everybody around us is to start the day meditating on God's word. And I'm not just talking about reading it. I really mean meditating on it, like taking a verse or two, praying it, considering what needs to change in you, and then go sharing that thing that's impacting you with the rest of the world. You know, I started today just that way, meditating on a few words from God's word. And I got to tell you, my perspective and my mindset is renewed today about the deeper issues that I really need to be addressing in my life. And it's impacting, I can see it already. It's impacting my day very differently than had I started today, of my own will and of my own strength. So get in God's word, man.
Totally agree. Great word. I appreciate that. Your latest book, 30 Virtues That Build a Man. Talk about how people can find the book and more on Resolute.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find the book at beresolute.org/30. That's T-H-I-R-T-Y, beresolute.org/30. Great book. It's a resource for mentoring other men. You know, it's essentially 30 conversations my grandfather had with me about God's word that really build into the character of a man. I believe character development is the most important development that we can engage in spiritually with younger men or older men or together in small groups. So go grab that book. I'd love to have some people out there do that. And you can find Resolute, of course, at beresolute.org. We have great men's daily devotionals. I know you probably know that, but I write a devotional every day of the year. It's new and fresh every morning. And guys out there are looking to get started in their faith or take kind of some of those first steps. That's how I encourage them to do that. Just sign up for that daily Devo and read it each day, each morning.
Great stuff, Vince. I appreciate it so much. Phenomenal takeaways. And again, keep up the great work. Definitely a message that we need to hear. I need to hear it as well. So thank you for your time today.
Yeah.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed my chat with Vince Miller. I love this message that he had to say. Purpose is not found by our own way, our methods, or in ourselves. It is given to us by our Creator. A great word from Vince. That'll do it for this week's episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters sent to your inbox totally free, just go to our website, tejasfinancial.com. And a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta with Repurposed. We'll see you next time. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of Repurposed. This media is only available because of listener support just like you. If you want to make a gift right now, you can go to the website, myfaithradio.com. And if you do that, we would appreciate that so much. Also, thanks in advance for sharing these podcasts with your friends online. It's an easy way to help spread the impact of Repurpose. And just one more thing, subscribe. You can find Repurpose on iTunes or your favorite podcast player.